Welcome to this anointed message taught by Pastor Lynn Schall of Amazing Grace Fellowship. We believe your life will be enriched by hearing the word of truth, the reality of faith, and the message of the goodness of God. Here's Pastor Lynn.
Ephesians chapter 6, okay? We're in the middle of a series on spiritual warfare. Today we're going to get into the armor section, okay? Let's start reading in verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole, everybody say whole. So not half or not, you know, not only the parts that we like, but put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes or the wiles of the devil. Because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the spiritual rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, because of all that truth, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. So we've talked about that a little bit, what it means to have done all to stand. And hopefully we got that message across, that we have a responsibility as believers to do something. God will kick in and do stuff that we can't do. And how many of you have found yourself on the short end of the stick in a lot of the stuff in life? We just don't have enough wisdom. We don't have enough strength. We don't have enough wherewithal. But aren't you thankful for the Lord that He comes along and He gives us the wherewithal to be able to do it? Are you thankful for that? Man, I really am. But we have to ask ourselves, have we done all to stand? A lot of times I think this is where we probably fail the most, is that we're standing, but we haven't done all to stand. In other words, it's kind of like that guy facing a bull in the arena of life. It's you know, we didn't pay attention when the expert bullfighter was trying to teach us what we need to do, or we thought maybe that we got it figured out. I don't need all that. I can do it. I've got legs. I've got whatever. I can run if I have to. But how many of you know, if we want to be able to win the fight that we find ourselves in life, and isn't that what it's all about? Victorious. To be victorious. Isn't that right? In other words, there's a lot of times, I forget who said, I think it was MacArthur in the early 50s that said this. He stood before the United States Congress, and he gave a speech about the, you know, where America was in terms of different conflicts that we'd just come out of World War II. The Korean conflict was starting, and MacArthur reminded the United States Congress, and he says this. He said, "Never forget, gentlemen, that the goal of warfare is to win, not to just come to a place of constant indecision." That's good. Not to come to a place of constant indecision. In other words, it's not about, well, let's just kind of hold our ground. And I think it's easy for us as Christians sometimes to just think that, you know what, we're holding our ground, so we're doing okay. I don't know about you, but I want to do more than just hold the ground. I want to win the hill. How about you? Amen? I want to come through the fight victorious and not just come to a place of indecision and continue on there. Okay, it says, "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth." So I encourage you, maybe on your own, look up, or if you want to see pictures of first century Roman armor. And the first thing that is great that Paul mentions, it's because it's the first thing that you put on. It says, having girded your waist with truth. This would be a wide belt, and that belt would have attached to it different loops, different things that everything else was attached to it. So the armor all came together around the belt of truth. In other words, without that belt, the armor would actually be more cumbersome than it would be if you didn't have it. One of the cool things, if you read about first century Roman armor, was the belt that went around to hold all the armor in place is actually what gave them the most freedom to fight. How many of you know that you got to start out with the truth if you want to get anywhere in life? Where do we find the truth? We find the truth in Christ, in the Word. Isn't that right? Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." So that's the starting spot. Now listen, we can start off with perceptions if we want to, or we can start off with truth. And I would rather start off with truth. Amen? And I would rather then adjust my perceptions to the truth. It says, having girded your waist with truth. That's the very central thing that we all need, is the truth of God's word. So listen, whatever you may find yourself in life, what does God's word say about it? That's the starting point that we've got to come to. And then he says, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. So the typical soldier, the typical run-of-the-mill foot soldier, his breastplate was not made of steel. His breastplate was made of very thick leather. And the officers are the ones that wore the steel. But regardless, the idea is the same. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness. It's interesting that that's the next thing that Paul uses. In fact, this is also the order that a Roman soldier would get dressed. And he did this every morning. Every morning. In fact, during peacetime, a Roman soldier went through the same ritual every time. So they'd get up and they'd put their belt on first, that belt of truth. How many of you know we need the Word of God every day? Every day of our lives, we need the Word of God. Listen, we can't go on yesterday's manna. We need fresh manna every day. We got to find the Word of God every day. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. What does a breastplate cover? What's the primary organ that's covered by a breastplate? Your heart. How many of you know out of the heart flows what? All the issues of life. So we got to have our heart protected. That's something that's very important. We can say, oh, I'm tough or whatever, but listen, out of our heart flows the issues of life. So having a healthy, safe heart is very, very important. Put on the breastplate of righteousness and having your shod feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The shoes of a first century soldier were sandals that had spikes on them. And one of the things that's interesting about these spikes is these spikes were put on the bottom of the feet in such a way that it hindered, if you were going to go backwards, you were going to have a real problem. They were not made to go backwards. They were made to go forward. So if you put a little bit of an angle on these spikes, that's where you find your best defense, right? It's your posture. Your stance in life, anybody that's ever been involved in martial arts knows that your stance is everything. How many of you know where we put our feet as believers is everything? We can have our feet founded upon the sand, or we can have our feet founded upon the rock. Isn't that right? And the kicker is that these shoes were made in such a way that if need be, they could be used as an offensive weapon. In fact, they're the third offensive weapon that's a part of this armor. The thing is how many of you know we face our problems head on? We don't turn and run. Turn to your neighbor and say, we don't turn and run. Because one of the things that you all know, I'm sure this isn't the first time that you've ever heard somebody talk about the armor. You don't have very much protection on your back. The shoes weren't made to run. Everything that we have that's been given to us by God is to be able to let us or allow us to face things head on. How many of you know we never shuck and dive from responsibility? We never shuck and dive from integrity, from all the things that are necessary. In other words, we need to have our feet planted firmly upon the rock. And guess what? Once you've done that, once we've done all to stand, once we have this armor on, let me tell you what, it was one of the greatest things. In fact, I was reading some history from Josephus about this time frame, and he credits one of the things that was one of the most successful for the Roman soldier. It's odd, and he credits it to their feet. He said that what they were wearing was so strong and allowed their stance to be so strong that when somebody advanced against them, one of the things for sure is that of the two, the Roman soldier, because of his feet, the Roman soldier was going to have the best chance to stand their ground. And you know what? The stuff that faces us in life as believers, how many of you know believers ought to be able to stand our ground above anyone else? I know that may sound like a pretty bold statement, but listen, when we're established, when our stance is upon the Word of God, I don't know about you, but I have full faith and trust that the Word of God will stand the test, the storm of anything in life. Amen? Okay. So your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I like that. Everybody say peace. The Roman soldier, when he was in war, in actual battle, actual conflict, One of the things that Josephus traveled with the Roman military for a while. He was allowed to do that and write about them. And one of the things that Josephus referred to in watching a Roman soldier in actual battle was how that they were fearless. That when he would be able to look and see an enemy that they were fighting, that they found themselves filled with fear. But he looked at a Roman soldier and it said they had this almost peaceful look on their face. How many of you know that God's word, the truth of God, having your heart protected, how many of you know that can give you a lot of peace in the midst of battle? That says, you know what? All right, we're in it. We're in it. We're in it, though, to win it. We're not in it to just endure. It then goes on to say, above all, taking the shield of faith. This word shield in the Greek is a very specific word, and it denotes the type of shield that Paul's talking about. You may be familiar with the round shield. That was used by the Greeks. The Romans, this particular shield was 4 foot tall, so that's about that tall. And it changed in the first century. It changed to sort of conform or curve around the body. 2.5 feet wide. So it's about this wide. So here's what's really interesting about this shield. This shield offered a lot of protection because this fiery dart reference that Paul is referencing is a real first century thing. An enemy would put pitch on their arrows and shoot these arrows that would be burning. And, you know, when the arrow would hit something, not only would it potentially light fire, but the pitch on impact, the pitch would travel further and splatter maybe. And so these shields were made in such a way that it would quench a fiery dart. In other words, the dart, once it went into the shield, the fire would be instantly quenched. But here's the cool thing, is the Romans, one of the things that made them the fiercest, the most successful warriors of their age is they used a tortoise, what they called a tortoise configuration. So you can figure out what that means, right? So there's this attack. They find themselves in this attack. So what they would do is they would stand side by side. There would be a group that would stand side by side, which makes effectively a wall. And then another group would come behind them and put their shields above them. And they would do that and they would make this canopy, kind of a tortoise shell of deal. How many of you know that we're not in this thing called warfare on our own? How many of you know as the body of Christ or as was referred to a Hawaiian ohana, there's a family. Aren't you thankful for the family of God? That in the battle that you find yourself in, you're not on your own. You can come side. That's why it's so important that the body of Christ is united. That's why it's so important, a church family like ours, that we really understand. Okay, we may not know everybody intimately. A church our size, that's probably not going to happen. But you know what? Those that we do know, how many of you know we can assemble a tortoise formation? That when the enemy is attacking, you know what? In fact, one of the things that they would do is somebody that may have been injured or found themselves weak, they would put them behind in the middle of this tortoise thing to protect them from anything else. And you know what? That's what we need to do as the body of Christ. So we need to come together, link our shields together. And the shield of faith, in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, it says this about faith. It says that we overcome by faith. That only stands to reason. We come to Christ by faith and we live by faith. And then Paul says, we die in the faith. That's why he says, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation. This helmet that the Roman soldiers had was made of leather. The leather is what went against your skin. And it was formed by water. It was formed to each person's head. And then above that, they would form bronze to go around that. So it's metal. And they said, Josephus said that the Roman helmet was the best helmet of anybody that he had ever seen. And the helmet of salvation is a very interesting, because Paul likens that in another portion of Scripture. He uses this idea of the helmet of salvation. In different parts of Scripture, he ascribes different things to even a shield or to a breastplate. But the helmet of salvation, every time that he mentions the helmet, he refers to its salvation. Stop and think about that for a moment. How many of you know what you believe is very important? And where do we believe? We use our mind. Turn to your neighbor and say, have you used your mind recently? Okay, now we may lose our mind every once in a while, but listen, our mind, and how many of you know the battlefield of faith takes place, much of it takes place right here in our mind. So he says, take the helmet of salvation. And you know, when it comes to this idea of being redeemed and coming to Christ and giving our heart to him, or maybe we'd use the phrase being saved, how many of you know it first of all starts out right here? What do you mean right here? It starts out with a set of beliefs. You may, prior to your salvation, you may have not believed that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. You maybe just believed he was some great teacher among other great teachers of yesteryear or whatever. But you finally had to come to a place that you started to believe something. You didn't necessarily believe at first that he was born of a virgin. Maybe you just thought that was whatever kind of a story. But at some point in time, your belief, right here, you come to a point that says, you know what? No, I believe this. Take the helmet of salvation. And then it says, right after that, look at that, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. In fact, when it says the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, you know specifically what Paul is talking about? Not just the Word of God as in, you know, pretend this was a printed Bible. Not just the Word of God in terms of being a Bible, but the Word of God spoken out of the mouth of a person. That's what Paul is exactly referring to. He's not just talking about, you know, that there's just some magical quality to the Word of God. He's talking about, for the person using this armor of God, the Word of God in your mouth, anointed by the Holy Spirit of God, has incredible power. Amen? Incredible power. And they carried this sword. This sword was about 2 foot long. Every Roman soldier carried a spear. The spear was 7 foot long. And that spear, the first 3 foot of the spear was iron. The rest was made out of wood. It was called a pilum, P-I-L-U-M. The other thing that they carried was this sword. This sword was 2 foot long, and it was double-edged. This sword was never made to slash. This sword was made to penetrate. And that sword, how many of you know your tongue? There's a reason that Paul uses the sword of the Spirit with respect to a specific reference and a specific meaning to our mouth. How many of you know that your tongue is a double-edged sword? Out of your mouth can come cursing and blessing. How many of you know what we say is incredibly powerful? Amen? And so this sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer. You see, most people stop when they talk about armor, at least in my experience. Most people stop in verse 17. But I believe that verse 18 is the whole environment that the Christians should find themselves in. How many of you know that we need to be people of prayer? Right? Praying always with all prayer. In other words, the fight that you find yourself in life, this warfare, Paul told Timothy to wage a good warfare, fight the good fight of faith. And the thing is that, listen, we need everything at our disposal, right? Praying always with all kinds of prayer. How many of you know that there's different situation that calls for different prayer? Amen? If you need wisdom, why pray for healing? Am I right? The thing is that Paul goes on here, and I just love this. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. In other words, what I love about verse 18 is Paul introduces to us, for me, the environment that we're to wage warfare in is an environment of prayer. And I love this. The last part says, in supplication for all the saints. Let me tell you what. The warfare that you are in is just not with you and an enemy. It's the enemy against us. Does that make sense? In other words, not only are we watchful and persevering with respect to our own lives, but how many of you know we need to be watchful and persevering for those in our family? Not just our immediate family, relatives, blood family, but in the family of God. Now listen, everybody knows that the Roman Empire fell, right? Yeah. Some of you are going, they did? Okay. There's been a lot of speculation over the years, a lot of books written on why the Roman Empire fell. And there seems to be a huge amount of evidence that supports the fact that the Roman Empire... Let me back up. The Roman soldier, and I think this has application to us as believers, even during peacetime, the Roman soldier exercised and wore their armor, even during peacetime. Okay? So even though they weren't in a battle every day of their soldier's career, every day they worked out practice as if they were. Let me read from Flavius Josephus. This is, quote, "Every day, every soldier exercised, and that with great diligence, as if it were in time of war, which is the reason why they bear the fatigues of battle so easily." So stop and think about that. Every day, Flavius Josephus said that they exercised as if they were in war, and that discipline that they did was what made them bear it, to quote, "bear the fatigues of battle so easily." Guys, that's the same reference of having done all to stand. So every day these soldiers worked out. I'm quoting still. "This vast empire of theirs has come to them as the prize of valor and not as a gift of fortune. For their nation doesn't wait for the outbreak of war to give men their first lessons in arms. They don't sit with folded hands in peacetime only to put them in motion in the hour of need. On the contrary, as they had been born with weapons in hand, they have never had a truce from training. Never wait for emergencies to arise. Moreover, their peace maneuvers are no less strenuous than veritable warfare. Each soldier daily throws all his energy into his drill as though he were in action. Hence, that perfect ease with which they sustain the shock of battle. No confusion breaks their customary formation. No panic paralyzes. No fatigue exhausts them." When I read that, you know who I thought of? I thought of Daniel when he got the message that, you know what, when you hear the sound of a trumpet, everybody's got to bow. And if you don't bow, you're going to be thrown in the lion's den. When Daniel got that information, the Bible says, "And as his custom was, Daniel went back to pray." In other words, he didn't freak out. He didn't go in, you know, he didn't have a panic attack. He didn't have an emotional breakdown. He just kept doing what he had always done. "And as their opponents cannot match these quality, victory is the invariable and certain consequence." I'm still quoting. "Indeed, it would not be wrong to describe their maneuvers as bloodless combats and their combats as sanguinary maneuvers. By their military exercises, the Romans instill into their soldiers fortitude, not only of body, but also of soul. Fear, too, plays a part in their training. They have laws which punish with death, not merely desertion of the ranks, but even a slight neglect of duty. And their generals are held in even greater awe than the laws. This perfect discipline makes the army an ornament of peacetime, and in war welds the whole into a single body. So compact are their ranks, so alert are their movements in wheeling to the right or the left, so quick their ears for orders, their eyes for signals, their hands to act upon them." Now ask yourselves a question. Do we as believers take the war that we're in that seriously? It's a good question, isn't it? Do we go to the Word of God as if our life depends upon it every day? Or do we go to the Word of God if we can get around to it? Oh, we're getting quiet outside here. Am I right? I look at that and I go, wow, that's incredible. And when I was reading that this week, it just really convicted me of thinking, you know what? Yes, when we're attacked, how many of you know people will run helter-skelter to try to get protection or whatever? But you know what? If we just took seriously every day, I mean every day, everybody say every day. Not just every once in a while, but every day. If we took seriously the war that we're in, in peacetime, just the same as in wartime, I think we could bear the battles of life much easier. Amen. All right, so listen. Nearly all historians agree Rome brought about its own downfall. I'm quoting. It's the just and important observation of Vegetius that the infantry was invariably covered with defensive armor. From the foundation of the city to the reign of the Emperor Gratian, the relaxation of discipline, the disuse of exercise rendered the soldiers less able, less willing to support the fatigues of the service. They complained of the weight of the armor, which they seldom wore and which they successively obtained the permission of laying aside both their body armor and their helmets. The heavy weapons of their ancestors, the short sword, the formidable pilum, which had subdued the world, insensibly dropped from their feeble hands, and the use of the shield is incompatible with that of the bow. They reluctantly marched into the field, condemned to suffer either the pains of wounds or the ignominy of fight, and always disposed to prefer the more shameful alternative. In our modern age, with all of our gadgets, I'm using an iPad, in all of our modern age, I think it's safe to say that we may look at those of yesteryear that have served Christ, and we look and go, you know, well, that was of a different era. That's not for us today. And I think that the body of Christ, if we could maybe be honest with ourselves as a whole, and this is just my opinion, that we've looked at the same idea of what it costs to serve God. Because how many of you know it does cost to serve God? There is energy that's expended getting yourself dressed with armor every day. There really is. There really is a sacrifice that needs to be made to do that. And I think it's safe to say that maybe we have done maybe what the Roman Empire, and I know some may disagree with me on this, but I think it's safe to say, at least in my opinion, my observation, that we look to getting things easier instead of getting things more effective. Amen? In other words, the discipline that it would take for us, if you were to liken it, to use the same metaphor that Paul used, if you were to liken that same discipline that that first century Roman soldier had that Paul was referring to, that every day they exercised as if they were in battle. Boy, I'm telling you, I think my life would be a bit different as would yours if every day we woke up in the morning and we had the idea, God, without you, I'm lost. I need you today as much as I need the air that I'm going to breathe today. God, I'm fighting for my life here. I'm not talking about from a desperation that we're coming from a point of defeat, but from a point that says this, I need to be fully armed, fully clad, ready to go at a moment's notice. And I think if we maybe had that idea, I don't know about you, but I think, am I right or wrong, that we would get through battles easier? Instead, it seems like maybe sometimes, you know, in the corporate world, in the world of factories and producing different things, we look at being more efficient. Listen really close. And how many of you know it's great to be more efficient, but more efficient is not synonymous with better quality. Isn't that right? All we have to do is look at, I need to be real careful here. All we have to do is look at different tools and different things like that that are being made. All right, so if we can produce a tool really quickly, but that tool only has a useful life of X, because we've been able to more efficiently produce it does not mean that it's of better quality. And you know what? There's just some things. Look at food. That's a good one. I mean, you know, just because we can make food fast doesn't mean that we make food good. Right? And if we try to get into this idea of in serving God with our armor that, you know what, maybe we could be a little bit faster if we didn't have to carry such a heavy shield. Well, yeah, you could be faster, but that doesn't mean that you'll be better protected. Amen? Yeah. And so if you track the Roman military and you track the weight of their armor, what you're going to find is the armor got lighter and they fell. Amen? Everybody say microwave. Okay. You've heard me say this before. We're into microwaving. God's still into slow cooking. You know what, guys? There are just some things in God that does not come quick. That's all there is to it. And we have to accept that fact. We just have to accept it and say, well, that's how it is. It can't be turned into an Apple, can we make it quicker? It can't be turned into a PC, can we do it more efficient or whatever? Can we have more information? Let me tell you what, there are just some things in God that just take time. There's just some things that just still takes 24 hours a day of getting up in the morning, loving the Lord, spending time with God, and you know what? Just learning the best that we can. One of the things that's interesting that Josephus in another portion of his writings talk about with the Roman soldier is the Roman soldier, during their times that they weren't in actual corporate training, do you know what they were doing individually on their own? They were sharpening their sword. They had an infatuation with the sharpness of their sword. So that when they weren't in a formation, when they weren't sparring with one another, in other words, when they were, if I could say it this way, taking a break, Josephus said that they always had their sword out and they was making it finer and finer and a little bit more sharp. Amen? Think about the translation for us in our spiritual life. There's never going to be a time, guys, that we can say we've got the Word of God all figured out. We don't need to give any more attention to it. In other words, when we come up against the Word and we realize, ooh, I need to do that. How many of you know the only way that we're going to be able to learn to do it is by practicing and practicing and practicing and practicing and practicing? And it said that these little kids, that he would even watch the sons of the military kids, and that the little kids would have sort of fake swords and they were infatuated. When dad sat down and sharpened their sword, the little kids would sharpen their sword. How many of you know it just spawns to our families as well, that we surround ourselves in the Word of God? Amen? Okay, we're going to stop there. And as we get ready to close here, if you could just bow your heads and close your eyes. If you're here this morning.
Thank you for listening to this podcast by Pastor Lynn Shaw of Amazing Grace Fellowship, Twin Falls, Idaho. We hope this teaching has inspired you with the Word of truth, the reality of faith, and the message of the goodness of God.